Welcome to the FMCG podcast. Make sure you're following us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and leave us a five-star review. It really helps us out. Enjoy the show. Hi, my name's Rich and we're Consumer Hub. We focus on recruiting, marketing, innovation and sales specialists within the FMCG sector. And this is the FMCG podcast. We speak with some of the leaders that we know, who we rate today, and hear their insights into leadership, career progression, and also their category insights. Today, we're really pleased to have Sammy Modi on the show with us. And this is a bit of a unique show because Sammy's actually still undergoing his training in his degree apprenticeship with Greencore. So it's really, really interesting to hear from somebody in the trenches at the moment in that early stage of their career. We're going to get right into early careers, what it's like to be at that stage of your career, and also some of Sammy's insights around how the industry can learn from some of the people starting off around the best way to develop and mentor talent. So Sammy, thanks so much for coming on the show. Great to have you here. Really pleased to be chatting to you today. Can you just give us a quick insight into you, what you're doing at the moment in Greencore, and also kind of what your apprenticeship scheme involves in terms of your rotations, if that's all right?
Yeah, absolutely. Hi, Richard. Yeah, so Sammy here, currently a second year commercial management degree apprentice at Greencore. I think firstly, to give a little bit of context to Greencore, for those of you who don't already know us, we're a FTSE 250 company operating within the food industry. We have about 14,000 employees operating across 35 locations, and our turnovers are around 1.7 billion. So that gives you a bit of a grasp of the scale of our business. And yeah, I'm in my second year, so I've done two rotations now. Currently in our category team, and I'll do two more. So how the apprenticeship's structured is you have a four-year program, and that's spread across 4 years, so you get a real general breadth of knowledge on the different functions that make up that commercial structure.
Brilliant. Oh, thanks. So just a small business then, by the sounds of it, Sammy.
yeah, not too big.
That's great. Well, look, thanks for the intro. That's really interesting. I guess just to kick it off, so degree apprenticeship, I know what one of them is because Harry, our marketing manager, he's kind of done one with us. But can you just kind of quickly set out what they are, kind of what how they're defined and like what is involved in that? Obviously, you're doing, by the sounds of it, two more rotations. But can you just give us a top line overview on what a degree apprenticeship actually is for those listening, Sammy?
Yeah, absolutely. So it varies from company to company in terms of rotation. Some companies won't rotate, but it's the same as a linear apprenticeship. You learn whilst, you know, working in role on the job in industry. So for me, as a degree apprentice, the learning's a degree. So I'll spend sort of 2 days a month at university. And again, that varies depending on what course you're on. Some do blocks of 6 weeks at university, but effectively you work full time and study towards a degree so that you have the work experience as well as the academic underpinning and the learning.
Great. Great. And then for those that maybe aren't familiar with like how university courses are funded, how is this funded and how does that sort of benefit or not benefit you?
Yeah, so this isn't funded by students. Typically, a university course you'll get either a loan or you'll self-fund it. For this, it's funded either by the company with a little bit of support from the government. So I don't know how the financial structure is set with the government. They aid a little bit of the funding and sort of boost that and get younger people into jobs.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, I think for most of them, from my experience looking into it, you've got the apprenticeship levy, which is like a tax that companies of a certain size pay. We're still too small, luckily, but bigger ones like Greencore pay it. And that's, I think it's like 0.5% on everybody's salary. And that levy then actually pays for these degree apprenticeships to be subsidised. So if you're watching, listening, you've got, you know, family members or friends that are maybe considering early stages of career, or maybe you're looking to kind of redraft what you're up to, it can be a really cost-effective way of studying. And then which university are you with? Which one are you anchored with, Sammy?
I'm at Nottingham Trent University.
Nottingham Trent. Great. Yeah. Did you rate it? It's been good learnings?
No, it's been absolutely amazing so far. Yeah, great. Couldn't fault it.
That's good. Yeah, so from your perspective, you kind of find like it's well structured and set up so you can balance that learning off the job with your on-role training as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm in quite a good position because Greencore have had three cohorts before mine, so they're set up for success in terms of, you know, integrating degree apprentices. And likewise, the university have done five or six before mine. So they've sort of found what works, what doesn't work, and they've structured it now so that it should work for, you know, 99% of people.
Brilliant. Yeah, so you're not the guinea pig. That's always good to know, isn't
exactly
it?
Yeah.
Somebody else has broken that fresh ground. So give us a bit of insight into your personal story then, Sammy. So what were your motivations for going down the degree apprenticeship route rather than a traditional sort of full-time degree?
Yeah, a real breadth of motivation, if I'm honest. I think the first one, like I've already touched on, is that you don't have that student debt. You know, a lot of people come out of university with a great debt, and you know, it's not something that necessarily interested me. But equally, I wanted a degree, so it was almost finding a way to get a degree without taking on that level of debt. And that's what a degree apprenticeship is. But yeah. I was also really keen to get into industry. I think, you know, I enjoy learning, but I didn't find college the most stimulating. You know, it was challenging, but I wanted to do something, you know, that step above. And that's what I saw a degree apprenticeship as. You know, you're always busy. It's incredibly stimulating because I work sort of 37 and a half hours a week at Greencore. And I'll also have uni assignments like any other uni students do. So keeps you busy. And that's something that I liked about it. But equally, we're in an incredibly competitive labour market at the minute. So, you know, degrees are great, but they're equally quite saturated. I think, you know, I'm far from anti-degree, but universities for sure have a monopoly on the borrowing power of young people. You know, everybody, or, you know, I'd say about 80% of people that I know have a degree. And it's sort of finding that foot into the door of a company. So degree is great. It teaches you the academic side, but it's not always practical. So getting that physical experience in the workplace was something that I've sort of strived towards.
Yeah. I really like that. I mean, like you say, it's... I think it does genuinely give you a bit of sort of competitive advantage against your peer group because, you know, if you get to the end of that degree course and you've got 3 years of like proper, like you say, work experience in your belt, where you're doing a full 37 and a half hour a week on top of your studies, and it shows a lot of work ethic. And not only that, but you've actually got some genuine tangible experiences to talk about that are going to be really useful. Like I've seen quite a few people who've done degree apprenticeships, probably, I mean, they're relatively new, aren't they? So the last kind of 2 years, but you've seen people complete those courses and you can see them sort of leapfrogging and fast tracking through. And it's almost, you know, they're getting a jump on those traditional grad schemes, aren't they? Which used to be kind of the absolute holy grail for graduate jobs after finishing. So, I mean, yeah, when you look at it like that and no debt, I mean, it's just a no-brainer, isn't it, to explore at least?
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's the thing. It's not for everybody. It's an opportunity to explore. And some people, you know, they're almost anti-apprenticeship because they want to go to university, live that lifestyle. And, you know, there are drawbacks to doing an apprenticeship in that sense. You are busy for some people. That's not their lifestyle. But, you know, if you want to get ahead of the experience curve, you know, have no debt, earn whilst you learn. But also, yeah, like you say, gain real tangible experience that you wouldn't necessarily get at university. It's a great opportunity.
Yeah. So what you might lose in terms of like hungover Fridays, you make up for in a lack of debt and a better pay packet. And it's hard work as well, isn't it? Like chatting to Harry, I mean, he's definitely found that it's not easy. They really do push you in with those assignments. You know, you've got to do some really big kind of projects. So far, like, what's been the most interesting assignment that you've done, Sammy? Just to give people a bit of a feel for like the types of, you know, projects that you get set on in the off the job learning.
Yeah, for sure. So in terms of some context, my degree is business management and leadership. So all of the assignments and assessments that we get set around sort of marketing, different functions, HR. For me, I've really enjoyed corporate systems and processes. So we just had an assignment recently, actually, where you have to look at a process within our organization, analyze it, and sort of give some recommendations as to how they can improve that process. So I think it's just that almost strategic, logical thinking. Yeah. Taking a view of a process and how can we improve it? And it applies to what a lot of our teams will do in Greencore. You know, they'll look at ways to improve it and set ourselves up for better success and in all companies. So and that's another benefit, actually, Rich, of doing it over just a degree. You get to apply your learning. So, you know, I'll learn a module and I'll sort of think, where does it apply? Whereas at college, we'd learn a theory and I'd almost think, well, how does it work in the real world? Does it happen to business? Now I have the opportunity to explore that.
That's great. Yes, but particularly in business, I mean, it's one of those, isn't it? Like you do genuinely learn by doing, don't you? So it's not like, you know, further maths where it's not necessarily as contextual. So that makes loads of sense. So just kind of taking it back to your story then. So how long did you spend exploring the different options available? And for those that are early stage of their career or know people that are thinking about taking that step into learning, maybe an apprenticeship within the food industry, what options did you find were out there with some of the bigger companies in the UK?
Yeah, we're quite fortunate in the food industry that there's a real wealth of organisations getting involved in degree apprenticeships. I think for me, the big ones are Greencore, Nestle, Heineken, Unilever, do one. I think Hovis, Morrison's, Boots, Tesco. And McDonald's is a really good one, actually.
Oh, yeah,
I know
okay.
it's slightly different, but yeah, in the food industry, isn't it? They sort of, yeah, I think it's area management for Morrison's. For McDonald's.
That'd be dangerous for me, working in Mackey's. I could see that conflicting with my love of the gym.
By me too, yeah. But I think, yeah, like I say, we're quite fortunate in our industry that we're really taken to it. A lot of industries are late adopters. I think we were maybe the early adopters. We're still in the early stage of degree apprenticeships. They aren't widely accessible yet. And the ones that are quite competitive. But, you know, within the industry, like I say, there are six or seven big names there that do offer degree apprenticeships.
Yeah, so that right, really interesting segue there. So you mentioned them being competitive. So what advice would you have for somebody who is considering getting into one of these big companies as a degree apprenticeship? Because like you say, it's not like it's a gimme, is it? What do you think would give somebody a competitive advantage when approaching those applications, Sammy?
Good question. I think, firstly, it's really difficult. You know, you're coming out of college and everybody has similar experience. I know when I was at college, I worked part-time in a pub just as a waiter. So it's not like, you know, once you finish university, you can say, I did a placement year here, I did X, Y, and Z, and now I deserve this job. I think what the take to is individual. So it's almost how you come across, your level of confidence, your likability, more those factors. Because actually, I think if you have the right attributes and traits, you can almost be conditioned to work in any company. I'd say just almost work on, you know, being confident and how you come across. I think you have to be incredibly mature to, you know, move into industry at 18. Like I say, it isn't for everybody. But yeah, I think rather than, you know, working on maybe maths or English, I think written skills are important, particularly in my roles. A lot of, you know, emails and creating presentations, but a lot of it's how you communicate. So yeah, try to work on firstly growing your confidence. Secondly, you know, bolstering your communication, both verbally and written, and just consider how you come across that interview.
Yeah, great. No, really good point. I definitely agree, you know, from with my recruiter's hat on, people that we see kind of, you know, moving into kind of like key graduate positions from a degree or approaching those degree apprenticeships, like you say, it's that combination of communication skill sets and written communication that seem to nail it. Because like you say, you can learn a lot of the other stuff on the job, can't you? But it's interesting that you worked in a pub, because that is definitely a thread that runs through a lot of the people that we speak to's experience when they're successful in early careers. Is they've had some kind of part-time work that's introduced them to a very wide variety of people, whether that's retail or whether it's in hospitality. I think that kind of really hard yards, kind of long shifts where you've got to put your ego to one side and put the customer or shopper first. It translates well into FMCG, doesn't it, later on?
Yeah, and I think it's really subconscious. You know, I never got that job at the pub thinking, great, now it's going to give me all this experience I need. But, you know, definitely communication, just it puts you out of your comfort zone, to be honest, Rich. Before that, I'd communicate with friends, family, etc. But you put in a different environment where you have to be polite to people, you have to offer good customer service, and subconsciously you begin to develop those traits and those skills.
Yeah. That's a great point. So I guess the next question then, so your experience itself, like, what have you found has been your experience coming into the food and drink industry, very fast-paced commercial environment, especially something like, you know, Greencore, where lots of it's short shelf life, so a huge amount of pressure. What's your experience been as a young adult? Have you found people have been receptive, warm, kind of happy to help you out? Like, what's it been like just being dropped in at the deep end, so to speak?
Yeah, I'd say it's really demanding. It's incredibly challenging, but equally it's rewarding. So if you're willing to put in the work and develop, and understand things in the business, and you know, the rewards at the end of it, people are happy to have you there. And I'd definitely say there's a real warm feeling around early careers at Greencore. You know, we take on around 40 early careers individuals each year. So whether that be engineering, commercial, you know, graduates, as well as apprentices. So I think they're quite used to it in our organisation. They also have placement students. And I almost think, you know, as an apprentice, you aren't expected to be the end product. You know, they don't expect you to know everything. You're not the go-to man straight away, of course. There's that room where you're still developing, you're learning. So to give you that opportunity to do so, you know, you'll get meaningful work, you know, work that's required, but it won't be, you know, the most, I don't know how to phrase it, Rich. they won't throw you in straight at the deep end. You know, they wouldn't just put you in first day customer presentation by yourself. You know, you'll have people there to guide you, support you, teach you before they, you know, get you to do that sort of work, which is great. Like I say, we've got a real infrastructure for early careers programs, and I think Greencore are taking the right approach. But yeah, I think being a young adult, sometimes it's a breath of fresh air. You know, I'm only 19 and I think I'm almost ahead of the curve. I'm in those sort of customer meetings, working with customer suppliers, etc., and learning a hell of a lot. So yeah, I'd say, yeah, it's challenging, but it's rewarding. It's definitely worth it.
That's good. Right. So anybody that's got concerns, then it sounds like, you know, if somebody signed up to that degree apprenticeship, they're aware of the fact you're not the finished article. There's a good support structure in place. More widely, I guess this feeds into kind of broad discussion. That sometimes it'll come up conversations that I'll have with people in early careers, you know, that there can be a bit of a stigma against, you know, Gen Z's around what they expect from work environment. You know, it's coming. I mean, I've since the 10 years I've been in recruitment, went from being in a suit and a tie first job to now not really anybody wears a suit anymore. You know, probably a shirt's as smart as it gets. And I think a lot of that, especially during lockdown, has kind of come from looking to attract a, you know, younger, more diverse workforce, and, you know, sort of anticipating that requirement for flexible working and new work habits. Not everybody's happy about it. And sometimes there's drawbacks from that as well. Like, what's your view on what companies can do to sort of make Gen Zs feel comfortable? And even within that, do you think there's, like, you know, a common sort of factor setting what Gen Zs want from a good work environment, or do you think that's a bit of a myth? It'd be really interesting your take on that, Sammy.
Good point. I think if I was to speak to people in my cohort, they might say, you know, it's really individualistic. So you can definitely generalize Gen Z. Within my cohort, Greencore, there are 11 people, all of which are under the age of sort of 21. So we are in that Gen Z category, and we all want different things from work. Some of them are operations and they like being, you know, they have to be in the business, not working remotely. And they like that aspect. Others like myself like the flexibility of maybe being in the office 1-2 days a week and then working from home. So it's really individualistic. But if I'm to generalize, I think opportunity is what Gen Z want, you know. So they want the opportunity to have the autonomy to either work from home or in the office. They don't want those rigid guidelines. You know, they want the opportunity to progress. They want meaningful work. They're the sort of things that I think they want. And, you know, you touched on stigmas just then, Rich. And I think there are a few stigmas equally against apprenticeships at the moment.
Okay, so that's interesting, yeah.
I saw an article from The Mirror, and it said that they interviewed a pool of second-year students last year, and only 12% had considered apprenticeships as, you know, their post-college options. I find that really interesting, you know. I think it was about 65% university, 12% apprenticeships, the rest other, so that'd be full-time work, etc. And I almost thought, you know, why are people against them? I think, you know, there's still a level of education required from the government, from colleges, schools, about what apprenticeships are, the benefits of them, and there are some negative stigmas sitting around them, you know. And from my perspective, wrongly, you know, I remember when I was signing up to go to Greencore and I've done quite well at college, my early careers officer said, oh, why aren't you going to university? And, you know, when you get advice like that, it can turn some people off. I was quite fortunate that my brother already worked in industry in a degree apprenticeship, so I understood the benefit of them. But I think if I hadn't have had that first-hand experience and my careers officer was saying, you know, go to university, it'll be better for you, I'd have, you know, gone to university.
That's a great point. Often, like you say, is it stigma? Like, sometimes it is, isn't it? And then other times, there's like another bucket of people and they've just not heard about it. They've not had the education on it. Like, what do you think are some of the things the industry can do to reduce stigma against degree apprenticeships, but also to support positively communication around the benefits, and also to make sure people have a strong understanding of what they might be signing up for before they have to make that decision?
Yeah, I think platforms like this are great. Firstly, you know, Consumer Hub getting somebody on an early careers program like myself on to speak for it. It's a great way to tackle those stigmas and almost educate people on what is out there. I think the bigger organizations, the likes of Nestle, ourselves, you know, Heineken, equally have a big responsibility because we have a bigger reach than the smaller organizations. So whether that be through social media, driving traffic to our website, going to schools to do talks. You know, I also think there's a role where we need to target parents. You know, we all speak about the younger generation, but I don't know about yourself, Richard. My parents definitely had a great influence on what I did, you know, what I studied in school. So, you know, I've heard of cases where people's parents are pushing them towards university and away from apprenticeships merely because they don't understand the benefits of an apprenticeship. So I think, yeah, we have a responsibility to educate a real breadth of people. But equally, I think the government and the education system have a role as well. At the minute, they're pushing a lot of people towards university. And like I said, I'm not anti-university. I think it provides you with some great skills. But I equally think if there are other opportunities, people should maybe, you know, look to consider them. And if they don't know what they want to do at uni, don't feel forced into it. Because there's a whole wealth of opportunity out there for people who, you know, want to do something different.
Yeah, yeah, that's just a great point. My brother's actually on a degree apprenticeship scheme in building surveying. And same as like Harry and yourself, he's found it a brilliant experience. I think if I had my time again, I'd probably do it as well. You know, I did a degree in archaeology, which is a blast. It was good, but it was a classic kind of humanities degree where, you know, it's kind of really, really good social environment, a lot of fun, but not necessarily much thought given to careers afterwards. And I just think the fantastic way these degree apprenticeships bring some very solid practical support for careers, and, you know, tying in that academic interest as well. It's brilliant. So it's really interesting, like you were sort of talking about Gen Z, you know, it's not fair to just tie everyone the same brush or kind of stereotype people's aspirations, but there's some common themes there around, you know, wanting genuine opportunities, not just lip service to it, and also wanting some sort of flexibility in how people are treated as individuals. What do you think are some of the kind of motivators for line managers investing in, or what could be some good motivations for line managers? It's spending the time investing in early careers. And then within that context, you know, what do you think good mentoring looks like at work? Have you done any reverse mentoring? Just really interested to kind of hear how the degree program kind of slots into that mentoring piece at work, and, you know, your sort of thoughts and insights on that, Sammy.
Really good question. I think in terms of line managers tapping into motivations, a lot of them are synonymous with, you know, those for Gen Z again, because the build-up of our program, I'd say, you know, 95% of those on early careers programs are Gen Z. So I'm going to generalize and switch to Gen Z. But I'd say a lot of it comes down to finances. And okay. I don't think that's necessarily, you know, they want to come in on a big pay packet, but they want to earn the same as those around them. They want more transparency around pay. And equally, a lot of people want to be... you know, they want to have pay rises to reflect the work that they're doing. So if in year one they aren't doing a great deal of work, maybe your pay will reflect that. But when you step up in year two, they want to see a pay rise to reflect that. And a lot of companies who do invest in early careers do a great job with incremental salary increases. I know that Greencore do. You'll start on, you know, base salary. It might be, you know, around the £20,000 mark. And then, you know, depending on performance, depending on, I guess, external environment, inflation, et cetera, they'll look to address that. You will have incremental salary increases. So by year four, you could be on a really good sum of money. And I think that's one motivation for a lot of people in Gen Z. I think equally, progression opportunities are quite important. You know, if individuals can't see the opportunity to progress, I think that's when they look to go elsewhere. So I think it's every 2.5 years on average, somebody in Gen Z leaves a job to go elsewhere, and it tends to be a step upwards in the ladder, you know, not sideways. So, often it's, yeah, there's not opportunity internally, where else can they go, sort of thing. I think equally, just generally how managers approach your apprentices is important, as in any job. You know, if your manager is nice, friendly, is there for you, I think people are going to be more inclined to be motivated and want to give back. Versus, you know, those that aren't. And I think, again, because of social media, because of the access to all the resources that Gen Z have had, they know what looks good. So they want to be in that environment that looks good. You know, if I go onto TikTok right now, I could search for a day in the life of a degree apprentice, right? And it might go to somebody who works for Microsoft, and it might look absolutely amazing. So you get a false perception of that's what it should be like. And that's what Gen Z expects. So it's almost companies and managers need to strive to do as much as they can, firstly for the customers, secondly to drive value, but equally for the colleagues.
Okay, that's really interesting. Yeah. So I guess, it's a bit of a case of making sure that, right, you know, you've got a good clutch of degree apprentices there. kind of hungry to learn, keen, but it's not just enough to give them a good role when they start and a good sort of learning program. If you're not sort of keeping them stretched and growing along the way, then you can end up, you know, sort of having leavers from that scheme that you've invested a lot of time into. So kind of keep the pay relative to the value that those apprentices are offering, and also make sure that people are getting the opportunity to add more value by kind of stretching their roles out. That's, you know, really good insight there. And I guess just kind of taking it back to your learning then, Sammy, any sort of podcasts, any books, any kind of learning resources that you would recommend for other people within your sort of commercial track in the food and drink industry, who are at, you know, an early career stage, whether it's a graduate scheme or a, you know, degree apprenticeship?
Yeah, look, I think it depends on what your degree apprenticeship is specific to. Mine's management, so I think any sort of podcast that touch on leadership and management. I know that I'm really a big fan of Stephen Bartlett's Diary of a CEO. He gets a lot of leads on there to speak through, and it's great just to hear about their leadership journeys, you know, how they think outside the box and that sort of thing. So I say anything within that realm. Podcasts are obviously great, longer listens. Equally, you can go to the likes of our website. You know, if you go on Greencore, we have a page dedicated to early careers. You'll be able to find out more there about what we offer, you know, how we offer it, the structure, etc. And it'll be the same for a lot of the big companies. So they'll have, you know, pages dedicated to their early careers programs. I think, again, when you actually join the program, you're quite fortunate you get a wealth of resources from the university. So, again, I've been reading King and Lawley's organizational behavior book recently, part of one of my modules. It teaches you a hell of a lot about business. So, yeah, I think just keep reading, you know, look for podcasts, but equally any news articles, journal articles you see about anything that you think is relevant to your subject area, it's great just to pick up on those.
Cool. No, that's great advice. Final question for me then, and this is for the old codgers like me, Sammy, but if there's a business, maybe they've not got a degree apprenticeship scheme in place, but they're looking to implement one, and they want to know, how do I attract the high caliber aspirational kind of candidate pool into this who I'd like in my business? Like, what are the best ways that they can communicate or attract the right type of talent onto their degree apprenticeship scheme? Because I guess it works both ways, doesn't it? It's competitive to get access to those degree apprenticeship schemes, but it's also competitive to get the right type of candidates who are going to be, you know, high potential degree apprentices.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest barriers at the moment actually is the universities that a lot of them are in collaboration with. So ours is with Nottingham Trent, and it's a great university, one of the highest ranks in the UK for business, but it's snubbed by a lot of high achievers. You know, they say, I'd rather go to a Russell Group, you know, rightly or wrongly. So I think there's almost a responsibility for organisations to try and get in with those Russell Groups if they want to attract that calibre of talent. Equally, I think it comes down to what they offer. So, you know, I think naturally better calibre talent are almost automatically attracted to bigger companies, rightly or wrongly again. And I'd say, you know, if you're a bigger company, you probably already have that advantage, you know, just through, firstly, you know, what salaries you can offer, and secondly, through how you can develop people because of the wealth of resources that you have. You know, you have those managerial economies of scale. So, yeah, they're quite fortunate in that sense. But I think for those who are smaller companies, don't be disheartened. You know, you just need to communicate in the right way, whether that be through social media. I think TikTok's a really good platform. There's an influencer I saw on there. She has around 30,000 followers. She works for Microsoft, I think it is. But she goes through, you know, tips for people who want to get into degree apprenticeships, but equally, you know, what's in the market. So maybe collaborate with an influencer like that who has, you know, a pool of people who are interested watching her. Look, I think it comes down to also what salary range you offer, because you'll see it in graduate roles. You know, if you come off program and you go to the likes of Aldi, Lidl Area Management, they can attract over 100,000 applicants each year, but they pay, I think, 45,000 when you start versus, you know, others that pay a lot less. Yeah, that's definitely plays a big role, doesn't it? And, you know, what are you going to give to the apprentice? If they've got, I don't know, Greencore, Nestle, Heineken, and Morrisons all offering them jobs, how do you differentiate? I think it comes down to the program structure. And I think Greencore do a great job in that sense. But yeah, it's just making them aware of what you're going to offer ahead of the competitors.
Nice. So, okay, so to summarise then, link it with the right type of university, you know, make sure you've got your socials dialed, you know, your digital comms, maybe think about what influencers in that space, and have a really clear proposition on how you can differentiate, particularly if you're a smaller business, what could be the advantage of working there, you know, and how does that sort of compare with one of the bigger competitors. But, you know, I mean, Sammy, thanks. It's a really, really kind of valuable insight across the whole discussion. I've really enjoyed it. Thanks for coming on the show. And for those that are listening or watching, you know, if you've enjoyed kind of listening to Sammy speak about his experience in early careers, you know, do reach out and thank him. You're on LinkedIn, aren't you, Sammy, so people can find you there. And, you know, let us know if there's any other topics you'd like covered off on this show. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll hopefully hear from you soon.